Hello, everyone. Welcome to pre-ICAN-59 policy update webinar at 10:00 UTC on Thursday, 15th of June, 2017. Over to you, David.
Thank you, Ozan, and welcome. I am David Olive, ICAN Senior Vice President for Policy Development Support and Managing Director of the ICAN Regional Office in Istanbul, and I'm speaking to you today from our office in Istanbul. I am pleased to introduce the policy support team who will present to you this webinar in preparation for our ICAN-59 meeting. This webinar provides a high-level update from the supporting organizations and advisory committees as they prepare issues for the meeting in Johannesburg, and we are pleased to be back in Africa to hold these sessions for ICAN-59. ICAN's policy and advice development work relating to the domain name system's technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the ICAN community through its three supporting organizations and influenced by four advisory committees in a bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open, and transparent process. ICAN-59, and here we have a good graphic that shows the various responsibilities of the supporting organizations and some of the functions in the process of developing policy advice at ICAN. I also would like to point out a bit of our policy team who will be presenting today in support of the community's work in policy and advice activities. We are 31 employees based around the world in 11 countries, five time zones, and 14 languages. We're happy to be part of this webinar today and to support your work in the ICAN activities for policy and advice. ICAN-59 is our second policy forum. The supporting organizations and advisory committees have taken the lead in organizing the program. Mornings are dedicated to outreach and advancing policy and advice development work. Afternoons will feature cross-community sessions exploring a variety of topics, including ongoing policy and development work. We will also begin the session with a presentation of the Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award, concluding a community-driven selection process. There is no opening ceremony per se, nor public forum sessions, but we'll see good discussions and disagreements at times and compromises. Networking receptions will be held each night to encourage further interaction. Some of the cross-community sessions, we'll tell more about this in our presentation, will deal with the community forum on the proposed fundamental bylaws, some policy development activities relating to the next generation directory services, general data protection regulations, geographic names, and how ICAN does its operating plan and budget, as well as sets priorities and some other cross-community work for your information. With that, I'd like to thank you for joining our webinar, and I turn it over to Mary Wong, who will tell us a little more about the Empowered Community Consultation. Mary, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David, and hello, everyone. My name is Mary Wong. I'm a member of the policy team, and I'd like to offer you greetings from a beautiful evening in Singapore, where I'm speaking to you from our Asia Pacific regional office. I see that we do have a number of our community members on the call. Welcome from the APAC region. I want to also recognize the presence of one of our newer colleagues on the ground in APAC, Zhang Jianchuan, who is the head of our Chinese engagement office. I'm very privileged to be able to present to you briefly today on something that is the first for ICAN and our ICAN community. This is the first ever community forum to be convened under the revised ICAN bylaws in relation to a proposal to amend one of ICAN's fundamental bylaws. As many of you know, under the revised ICANN bylaws that came into operation following the transition of the IANA stewardship function, ICANN's bylaws can essentially be divided into what are called standard bylaws, and the second type is fundamental bylaws under the overall bylaw organization. What has happened is that we now have a proposal to amend one of these so-called fundamental bylaws, and that, under our bylaws as they currently operate today, triggers the first of the 9 powers that the empowered community have. And just a bit of a background on the empowered community, although I think many of you already know this, the empowered community under revised ICANN bylaws consists of 5 decisional participants, and that currently are the 3 supporting organizations, that is the Address Supporting Organization, or ASO, the Country Codes Supporting Names Organization, or CCNSO, and the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or GNSO. There are also 2 advisory committees, the Governmental Advisory Committee, or GAC, and the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and together these form the 5 decisional participants that make up the new empowered community. The empowered community acts and communicates through the administration for the empowered community, which is made up of 1 representative from each of the 5 decisional participants. And under the bylaws, it falls to this empowered community administration to moderate a community forum when one of the empowered community's powers is triggered. And as I mentioned, here we're talking about a proposed fundamental bylaw amendment. The proposal is to essentially transfer one of the current responsibilities of the Board Governance Committee to a new board committee to be formed for this purpose and to basically oversee accountability work and mechanisms at ICANN. You see here on this slide in the overview section, which is the blue section on the left, a brief description as well as some of the relevant dates. And the trigger was, first, the board approved the proposal at its last meeting in May. The formal notice was sent to the Empowered Community Administration by the ICANN secretary a few days later. And that triggers the timelines in the bylaws, which includes the holding of a community forum, in this case at ICANN 59, on Tuesday, the 27th of June at 0800 local time in Johannesburg. What would be helpful for you to prepare for this first ever forum is to first of all take note of the timelines. In particular, if you or your group is a member of one of the 5 decisional participants, because what I've highlighted here is that following the community forum, there is a period of time for each decisional participant to decide if it supports the proposed amendment or not. And the deadline for that decision is the 21st of July. So in attending this community forum, whether physically or remotely, please do bear in mind this timeline and deadline. And secondly, in the right-hand side of this slide, in the red square, I put in certain links to, first of all, the proposal, as well as some graphics that we've prepared for the timeline and the process. So hopefully, this gives you a sense of what this first exercise of an empowered community power would look like. Secondly, the timelines that would apply to this exercise of power. And thirdly, hopefully the materials that you and your community groups will need to prepare first for the community forum in Joburg, and secondly, for the decision that each decisional participant will have to make and communicate with respect to this proposal. So I'm going to hand off to my colleague Marika now to speak on the next cross-community session. But if I may, before I do that, one last thing I'd like to note is that each SOAC chair, not just the 5 decisional participants, but all SOAC leaders, would have received a communication from David Olive, who you just heard from, regarding the possibility of providing written views on this proposed amendment to the Empowered Community Administration. And like I said, any SO or AC can do this, and you can do this even before the community forum in Joburg or certainly during that forum itself. So hopefully all this has been helpful. And like I said, I will now hand off to my colleague Marika to discuss the next cross-community session. Marika?
Thank you very much, Mary. And hello, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Marika Konings. I'm the Vice President for Policy Support for the GNSO. And I'm calling you from Costa Rica, where it's still dark outside, but I'm happy to see that I'm not the only one in that situation, as I'm seeing a number of familiar names from the country and from the region. But I'll be talking to you about the next generation GTLD registration directory services policy requirements cross-community session, also known as RDS. So as many of you will know, WHOIS was created in the 1980s as a collection and publication of domain name registration data service by internet operators to be able to identify and contact individuals or entities that were responsible for the operation of a network resource on the internet. As such, it actually predates the creation of ICANN. But with the uptake of the internet, WHOIS started to be used by many different stakeholders and for purposes beyond those originally envisioned. But the underlying protocol remains largely unchanged. And although ICANN's requirements for domain name registration, data collection, access, and accuracy for GTLD registries has undergone some important changes, including, for example, the registration data publication service specifications with a 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA, the WHOIS policy and underlying protocol have been the subject of debate for nearly 15 years. Comprehensive WHOIS policy reform remains a source of long-running discussions related to issues such as purpose, accuracy, privacy, anonymity, cost, policing, intellectual property protection, security, just to name a few. So to address these issues, the board launched an initiative back in 2012, which it recently reconfirmed for a board-initiated policy development process, or PDP, to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and to consider safeguards for protecting data using the recommendations that were developed by the expert working group on this topic as an input to, and if deemed appropriate, as the foundation for a new GTLD policy. So as part of the first phase of its work, the PDP working group is expected to identify the fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data without concern for the model that may be delivering such requirements. As part of this effort, it's expected to consider uses and purposes as well as associated access, accuracy, data elements, and privacy requirements. Once the PDP has completed this inventory of fundamental requirements, it needs to ask the question whether a new policy framework and next-generation RDS is needed to meet these requirements, or whether the current WHOIS policy framework can meet these requirements in its current form or with modifications. So what can you expect from the cross-community session at ICANN 59? The session will kick off with a brief overview of the questions now being addressed by this working group, and the progress of the working group in then answering those questions. To date, the working group has reached draft agreement on 26 key concepts, which have focused on the so-called thin data, which includes draft agreements such as every thin data element should have at least one legitimate purpose, and existing GTLD RDS policies do not sufficiently address compliance with applicable data protection, privacy, and free speech laws about purpose. For those not familiar with the concept of thin data, it consists of data elements which are mainly associated with the domain name, but not necessarily the registrant. The working group has now actually decided to move away from that terminology and use the term minimum public data set instead. Most of the data of the agenda for the cross-community discussion will, however, include an interactive dialogue between the working group members and the broader community on the working group's initial key concepts for users, purposes, data elements, privacy, and access to GTLD registration data, specifically for the minimum public data set. So to date, the working group has deliberated on four of the five fundamental questions which are outlined in its charter, thereby focusing on requirements for users, purposes, data elements, privacy, and access to GTLD registration minimum public data sets. As a result of these deliberations, as mentioned before, the working group has now reached agreement on over 20 draft working group agreements. Once it completes its first pass deliberation on key concepts associated with the minimum public data set, the working group will expand its focus to the so-called thick data, which includes data elements that are associated with the registrants. Do note that based on those deliberations, it could be decided that further data elements are added to this minimum public data set. Following that, a second pass deliberation will be used to confirm and/or refine working group agreements to eventually answer the question, is a new policy framework and next generation registration directory service, or RDS, needed to address these requirements? The requirements and conclusions are then published in the form of an initial report, which will be published for public comment. In order to prepare for the sessions, in addition to reviewing the information that can be found at the link on the previous slide, you are encouraged to review the key concept deliberation working draft document, which contains the details of the working group draft agreements reached to date. And on this slide, you can find the main questions that have been addressed as part of the draft agreements reached to date, and which will be the topic of discussion for the cross-community session. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Bart Possink.
Thank you, Marika. And it's quite nice to see, first of all, to see so many attendants also from the European region where I'm based. But also in light of the upcoming topic and cross-community topic on the General Data Protection Regulation, which is effectively a regulation that in principle only applies to the or is from the EU. So let me talk a little bit to this session. So following a call for proposals some time ago, the CCMSO suggested a cross-community session on this GDPR, so the European Union General Data Protection Regulation, which will come into effect in May 2018, so almost in a year time. So why did the CCMSO ask for this? Because it's, in their view, and probably on the broader community as well, given the level of interest, the session is to explore the impact of this data protection regulation on the domain name industry and its users, and users defined in the broad sense of the word, so the registries, registrars, registrants, and other stakeholders. As this is a regulation, it has a direct impact on all registries, registrars, and affects the registrants in the European Union, or the registries and registrars and other companies who work from the EU. So it has a far broader impact than just the EU, or in ICANN terms, just one SO or AEC. So that's a little bit on the background of this session. So how will it look like? The people who have prepared the session came to the conclusion that it's best to first to address effectively three high-level topics or three areas. So the first one is to set the scene, and that will be done by giving a general introduction on the GDPR and its impact on business in general. Then the next presentation will be on how the GDPR affects registrars, registrants, and services by registries and registrars. The goal here is to look at the practical impact and potentially solutions, practical solutions. Then the third part will be to look on the potential impact of the GDPR on current ICANN-related work, for example, on the work Marika just alluded to, and next steps. So the session is first and foremost intended as a dialogue of the attendees. So the presentations will be limited. The first two topics are intended to inform the audience, and it's about creating a level of informational or a level playing field And basically, the presenters will provide a brief overview, factual, of the scope, principles, and basic rights, etc., under the GDPR, and including its impact on regulation versus of this regulation versus the current legal framework. The goal of the third part, as I already said, is to assess if and to what extent current and future initiatives under the ICANN umbrella related to data protection are affected by the GDPR and its upcoming effective date of May 2018. So questions there will be, is there a need to prioritize, revisit the current list of work, defer one project in favor of another one, and maybe even identify new ones. The moderators will be Peter Verhoeven from the CCNSO, Oliver Zuma from the GNSO, and the session chair will be Cheryl Langdon-Noor. So the session is scheduled for Tuesday the 27th from 3:15 to 5:15, and you're all welcome to attend. So, Steve, over to you.
Thank you, Bart. Greetings from Los Angeles. My name is Stephen Chan, one of the few team members from that office, and I'll be speaking to you about the geographic names cross-community session. So the reason for the sessions on geographic names at the top level is that there are a number of different views amongst the various community organizations, and then further different views within those organizations as well on how geographic names should be handled. As well, there are parallel efforts within the community, all looking at how geographic names can be handled in the future, but with a different focus and a different scope of work, which has the potential to lead to conflicting outcomes. So in terms of what to expect at ICANN 59, because of those divergent views and parallel efforts, the GNSO's new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP working group is trying to facilitate a dialogue amongst the interested parties to help everyone achieve an understanding of the various positions and proposals in the community to address geographic names at the top level, and then to collaborate and try to develop a consensus-based solution that, to the extent possible, accounts for the concerns of all parties involved. The last thing on this slide is just a link to some resources. There was, as a precursor to these geographic or the cross-community session, there's a webinar on the same topic. I'll talk a bit more about that later, but materials for that webinar can be found here on that link. There's also a background paper on the topic. And then finally, there will be a proposal for discussion, which is nearly done and will be made available on that same webinar page, as well as the ICANN 59 session pages on the schedule. So I'd like to start with a brief historical context on the topic. The GNSO recommendations did not envision reserving or blocking geographic names, and conflicts for existing rights in names would be handled via objections. However, due to concerns from many amongst the community with this approach, this resulted in country and territory names being excluded from registration in the 2000 round of new GTLDs, while other geographic names, as defined in the applicant guidebook, require support or non-objection from the relevant governments. So those are the rules in the current applicant guidebook and were more of the result of board decisions rather than GNSO policy development. So the implementation and the recommendations are therefore inconsistent. As I noted earlier, there are parallel efforts within the community looking at geographic names. There is the subsequent procedures PDP working group within the GNSO, though it's not deliberated on the topic in depth to this point. There is a cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names, which is about to complete its work and will be discussed in greater detail by my colleague later. And there is also a GAC working group on the protection of geonames as well. And so the subsequent procedures PDP working group is trying to consolidate these efforts and trying to ensure a coordinated consensus output is reached on geographic names. I mentioned the webinar briefly as well, and as a precursor to the cross-community sessions at ICANN 59, the PDP working group convened a pair of webinars where any interested party could provide input on the topic of geographic names at the top level. And there were presentations about the legal framework around geographic names and then varying proposals from many parts of the community. And so finally, I'd like to provide a brief overview of the cross-community geographic name sessions at ICANN 59, of which there are two. As a lead up to the sessions, there's development of proposals. And in support of these proposals, the proposals from the webinar have been consolidated in a matrix, and the PDP working group co-chairs will also add a proposal of their own, which attempts to be a compromise solution that takes proper account of all the proposals reviewed to date. That said, their proposal is just one of the many others for the community to consider and is not necessarily intended to be given any additional level of importance. This matrix will be completed shortly and made available on the webinar page and the ICANN 59 session pages. The first of the sessions is on Tuesday, 27 June, and will be for 90 minutes. It will be a moderated session, and it will be to discuss the existing proposals and to gather input. Dependent on feedback received during the session, the working group co-chairs may attempt to incorporate input received to develop a revised proposal for consideration during session two. The second session is on Thursday, 29 June, and will be for 180 minutes. And again, it will be a moderated session where the audience will consider the proposals again, or possibly the revised proposals stemming from discussion in session one. And the goal, an admittedly ambitious one, is to reach a compromise consensus solution on geographic names at the top level. If that proves unattainable, the secondary goal is to reach agreement with the community on a framework or path forward to then resolve the topic in the future. With that, I conclude my slides, and I welcome your participation in the cross-community sessions at ICANN 59. And I'll pass that back to Bart. Thanks.
Thanks again, Steve. It's almost a dialogue between us. That being said, I'll touch upon the next cross-community session proposed by the CCNSO and accepted as such. This cross-community session on the operational side of ICANN's Ops Plan and Budget is a follow-up from a similar session in Helsinki last year. And it's meant to be a dialogue. It is intended to contribute to ICANN's ongoing planning cycle and budget. So it's not intended to influence the current discussion and process of ICANN's fiscal year 18 Ops Plan and Budget. It is intended as, let's say, as to provide input on the ongoing basis of such a dialogue. The dialogue will be between community and ICANN executive to foster understanding of the operational side of the planning. Up and until fiscal year 16, the focus, at least the CCNSO focus, was foremost on the budget side of the annual planning cycle. However, given the current quality of that part of the process, the idea was to focus more on the operational side of the annual planning cycle. This cross-community session will follow the same format as last year. ICANN is requested to provide more insight on certain ICANN operational plans and strategies. It is meant to enhance the cross-community dialogue and to focus on the related key performance indicators and metrics. As I said, it's not, and I repeat, not intended to discuss and change the fiscal year 18 Ops Plan KPIs and metrics, but to provide clarity and adjust and provide a basis for next year. The dialogue in Joburg will focus on the following topics: the PTI budget and long-term planning, and its long-term planning, ICANN international engagement, follow-up, So that was part of the discussion in Helsinki and a follow-up discussion in Hyderabad. And again, the focus is on that in that area from this group, including regional offices and the hub strategy, and some on the new DTLD program estimates. The topics were selected based on the public comments of on ICANN's fiscal year 2018 ops plan and budget, and is scheduled to take place on Wednesday, starting at 3:15. And this session will be followed up by a cross-community session who sets ICANN's priorities. So, moving on the next cross-community session, again, this is on Wednesday afternoon. The goal is of this session is to develop a shared understanding of community perspectives on how priorities are set in the ICANN system and who should set these priorities. When organizations have clear priorities, they get more work done and everybody knows where to focus their energy and enthusiasm. Prioritization of activities, and in particular ICANN activities, has been a major issue for quite some time for the whole ICANN system, board, staff, and last but not least, the community. Individual SOs and ACs have tried to implement prioritization strategies, some more successful than others, and the SO and AC leadership raised the issue and started to look into the topic on a broad ICANN level since October 2018. And ICANN priorities, those of the organization, are derived from ICANN strategic plan and operational plan and budget cycle. At ICANN 56 in Helsinki, in a cross-community session on workload scheduling and management, several ideas, including but not limited to prioritization, were explored and discussed as a means to make the workload at ICANN more digestible and manageable for all members of the community. And this session was at the time sponsored by the Governmental Advisory Committee. At ICANN 58, a number of discussions with ICANN board members, senior staff, and community members showed a variety of different understandings about what ICANN priorities are and who is responsibilities for establishing these priorities. So some sense of priorities are available from discussions with the board, from discussions with staff, and from the strategic and operational planning framework and actual operations, but they are all asserting different priorities, and as a result, different audiences get different messages about what is important. So that was the background and the reason why the CCNSO intended to have this discussion and with the support of the Governmental Advisory Committee. So moving forward in discussions to date, the vast majority of participants have agreed that the whole ICANN system, again, board, staff, and community, would benefit from clear priorities rather than trying to work on too many things at once. They also agreed there would be less risk of volunteer burnout, less confusion about what needs to be done, and less pressure on the ICANN organization and ICANN staff to meet many and ever-growing needs and demands. So if the discussion and the dialogue in Johannesburg and identify an existing group to take or confirm responsibilities for the priority setting task, that would already be very much very helpful, is the idea of the conveners of the session. So what can you expect in Johannesburg? You can expect to receive information about the different perspectives and approaches on how priorities are set, if they are available at all. And moreover, in a dialogue, to take this a step further, in the sense of converge towards an agreed approach on how to set priorities or expose at least the differences on how the priorities are set. If the discussion will identify the existing group, as I said, that would already be very helpful, probably for the whole community. As said, the CURS community session will be hosted under the auspices of the CCNSO and GNSO and the GAC, and will take place on Wednesday, June the 28th, from 1700 to 1830. Again, a follow-up on the Who Set the ICOM Priority session, or the operational planning session. So with this, I want to hand over to my colleague, Emily, to take the floor on the first cross-community session. Emily, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Bart. Hi, everyone. This is Emily Barabas calling from Amsterdam, the Netherlands. I'm another member of the policy team, and I'll be talking to you about the cross-community working group on use of country and territory names, one of the initiatives that Steve mentioned earlier. Excuse me. So the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names was established in 2014 to examine treatment of country and territory names at the top level. The group focused its work on representations included in the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO's 3166-1 list. The CCWG is now wrapping up its work. It published an interim paper earlier this year and has incorporated feedback for public comment. The updated document will be published as the CCWG's final paper by ICANN 59. And we're not anticipating that this group will be meeting at ICANN 59 because the work is so close to completion. The purpose of the CCWG was to establish whether it is feasible to develop a harmonized framework on the use of country and territory names at the top level that could apply across the respective supporting organizations and advisory committees. If feasible, the goal of the CCWG was to develop such a harmonized framework. The CCWG considered two- and three-letter representations of country and territory names at the top level. The group reached preliminary consensus in support of the current status quo for two-letter strings as exclusively reserved for CCTLDs. The group discussed three-letter representations of country and territory names as well. A wide range of views were expressed and no consensus was reached on this topic. The group ultimately concluded that it was not feasible for the CCWG to develop a harmonized framework for several reasons. First, multiple parallel work streams are ongoing in the community and these should be combined. Second, the group's mandate was too limited. And third, there's no clear connection between a CCWG and the policy development processes in the CCNSO and GNSO. Looking at the final paper that will soon be published, there were several recommendations. A substantial majority of the members supported the following recommendations to the chartering organizations. First, to close the CCWG as a harmonized framework is not feasible under the current circumstances. Second, that the ICANN community should consolidate all policy efforts relating to geographic names to enable in-depth analysis and discussion on all aspects of this issue. And three, that future policy development work must facilitate an all-inclusive dialogue to ensure that all members of the community have the opportunity to participate. The group did not reach consensus on how future work should be organized. The different perspectives are captured in the final paper for consideration by the chartering organizations. And now I'll pass it on to Marika, who will talk about another cross-community initiative.
Thank you very much, Emily. So I'll be talking to you about the cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds. So as some of you will know, auctions were chosen as a mechanism of last resort to resolve string contention within the new GTLD program. However, it's important to point out that most string contention has actually been resolved through other means before reaching an auction. Nevertheless, a significant funding has accrued as a result of several auctions that have taken place to date. These proceeds have been reserved and earmarked and currently stand at over $200 million U.S. dollars. Community discussions on this topic started back at ICANN 52 and resulted, among others, in a discussion paper that preceded the creation of a drafting team consisting of representatives from most ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, which was responsible for developing a proposed charter for a cross-community working group, which was the charter of which was subsequently adopted by all ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. The CCWG commences deliberations earlier this year and has been tasked with developing proposals on mechanisms to be developed in order to allocate new GTLD auction proceeds. It's important to understand that the CCWG will not make recommendations or determinations with regards to specific funding decisions, i.e. which specific organizations or projects are to be funded or not. At ICANN 59, the CCWG will be hosting a face-to-face meeting, which will be open to anyone interested. During this meeting, the CCWG expects to commence the second phase of its work plan, which focuses on addressing any charter questions for which preliminary agreement needs to be reached before it can move on to the next phase of work, which consists of compiling a list of possible mechanisms, following which a determination would be made which mechanism or mechanisms demonstrate the most potential based on the initial run-through of charter questions and preliminary agreements reached. Once a determination has been made concerning which mechanism or mechanisms demonstrate the most potential, the CCWG will aim to answer the different charter questions from the perspective of that mechanism. This is expected to be an iterative process, as further deliberation may find that a certain mechanism is no longer deemed to be the preferred option. At the end of this iterative process, the CCWG is expected to achieve consensus on the mechanism and responses to the charter questions, which are required to take into account the legal, fiduciary, and audit constraints and requirements that have been identified. These conclusions are then to be published for public comment, which the CCWG is aiming to do by the end of this year. And on this slide, you'll find a couple of links that should assist you in your preparation for this session. On this slide, you see a graphic depiction of the next steps, some of which I already covered during the previous slide. Following the publication of the initial report, the CCWG will analyze the comments received and make any changes it deems necessary before submitting its final report to the chartering organizations. Only after all the chartering organizations have approved the final report will this get submitted to the ICANN board for its consideration. With that, I'm handing it to Carlos.
Thank you very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes, speaking to you from the Washington, D.C. Engagement Office. And I'll begin our reports and updates from the supporting organizations and advisory committees, beginning with the ADRA supporting organization. Just a quick outlook for ICANN 59. The ASO ADRA Council will not meet formally at ICANN 59. They held their annual meeting at ICANN 58 in Copenhagen. However, several members of the ADRA Council, as well as the Number Resources Executive Council and staff from the regional internet registries, will be present in Johannesburg. The most, significant development for this community is the presentation of the draft report of the ASO review. This is happening on Wednesday. Items International received the contract to carry out the ASO review from the NRO. This happened earlier this year, and they have been conducting the review across various regional internet registry meetings since then. Earlier this year, well, just last month in May, actually, the NRO Executive Council and the ASO Address Council published a joint statement basically outlining their effectiveness and accountability and the purpose of the ASO to feed into the review process. So there's been a lot of activity within this community on the review, and the report will be presented in Johannesburg. Just a quick overview to refresh everyone's mind. The ADRIS Council is the group that oversees the global policy development process for number and resource allocation policy. The ADRIS Council has 15 members, three from each of the service regions. So you've probably heard me refer to a global policy. So what is a global policy? Essentially, a global internet number resource policy requires specific actions or outcomes by the IANA functions operator. all five of the regional internet registries must approve the same global policy proposal, and then it is referred to the Address Council, the ASO Address Council, for ratification. At that point, the board or the ICANN Board of Directors may accept, reject, or request changes or take no actions on the ratified global policy proposal. Some examples. The global policy development process is fairly rare. So the last time it was used was in 2012 with post-exhaustion IPv4 allocation mechanisms. In 2006, there was also an allocation of IPv6 blocks to RIRs. Currently, there are no global policy proposals. However, there's a lot of regional policy development occurring across the RIRs. Policy proposals right now tend to fall into some broad categories. One, simplification of IPv4 transfer policy. These are policies currently in place. Also revisions or, revisiting some of the criteria for IPv6 allocation. And then WHOIS accuracy also remains an issue for this community, and language clarification, sometimes referring references to deprecated terms or RFCs. Here are some upcoming meetings of the regional internet registries. As you may know, the five RIRs have two meetings each. So the next set of meetings is coming up after Johannesburg across the world. Over the past few weeks, we've had RIPE 74 and LACNIC 27, as well as AFRINIC 26. Regional internet registry meetings generally feature trainings and workshops on matters such as IPv6 and other internet number resource policy discussions. We've had several members of the ICANN board and as well as the organization actively participate in each event, further deepening the engagement between the named and members communities. So there's a lot of activity happening. You may not see it at ICANN 59. This is an area of work where policy development is also taking place. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Bart Wasinkel.
Thank you again, Carlos, and welcome again. So I'll now allude you and inform you about the meetings of the CCNSO at the Johannesburg session. So what can you expect in the in Johannesburg? So there will be some working group meetings. They will have their face-to-face meetings on Monday and Thursday. These are mostly internal CCNSO related, but they are all open, so if you're interested, you're welcome. More interesting probably for a broader audience is Tech Day on Monday. It's an open workshop for all community members with an interest in technical and operational matters, including registry work and security, and most of the times it's related to the DNSSEC workshops, etc. So that's Tech Day on Monday, and again, this is open. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday in the morning, so prior to the cross-community sessions, there will be the CCNSO Members' Days. This is a lot of presentations, CCTLDs informing each other on their developments at their CC and discussing more general topics of interest to the CCNSO and CCTLD community. These meetings are open. And finally, on Thursday, there will be Thursday morning before the, one of the working groups will be the CCNSO Council meeting. And again, that one is open. So let me focus on some of the sessions. First of all, if you recall, Mary alluded to the approval action of the decisional participants. The CCNSO is working on an internal guideline on the approval action procedure. As you know, the ICANN board proposed, and Mary alluded to it, a change to a fundamental bylaw. And as a CCNSO is one of the decisional participants, it will have to decide whether to support or object or abstain from the approval action once ICANN 59 has concluded. The CCNSO, so that is the membership and council, are of the opinion and of the view that they want to have at least a guideline discussed and ready for adoption in order to structure their own internal work and activities and the decision process. And so at ICANN 59, they will discuss the approval action, internal approval action guideline. And this time it's going to be very interesting because the committee of the CCNSO has identified a major issue, and that is the way the CCNSO has structured its own decision-making until today is not compatible with the timelines of the ICANN bylaws approval action procedure. To illustrate this, all council decisions are potentially subject to a member's vote for ratification or and this should be requested by at least 17 members of the CCNSO. But the deadlines of these requests is, say, first of all, 7 days for after the decision has been made, and then it will take 2 or 3 weeks at least to organize a vote across the members, because it can't be done at a face-to-face meeting, because there is, at least in the first round, there is a quorum rule. So this is, as a result, the CCNSO will, if this rule would apply, the CCNSO would not be able to deliver, and if this rule was affected, to have a fulsome vote on a approval action, and as a result, it will be deemed to have abstained from that approval action. Another item that will be discussed and introduced and is related is on the rejection action procedure. Again, this is one of the powers of the decision of the empowered community, and as the CCNSO is one of the decisional participants and hence member of the empowered community, it will need to again work through the rejection action process. At the session in Johannesburg, we hope to have a little bit of fun because the CCNSO will run a simulation of what is to be expected around the rejection action and rejection action petitions, which will trigger such a process. Again, anyone interested is welcome, and I believe it's going to be on Wednesday morning, but I'm not sure. But it will at least be a lighthearted way of looking at the rejection action at this stage. A third topic I want to raise with you and is around the CCNSO policy development process. As some of you will recall, the CCNSO has launched its third policy development process, and in Johannesburg, the working group on retirement of CCTLDs, which is part of that policy development process, will have its first meeting. And if you're interested and want to participate already, the issue report is currently up for public comment, and your comments will feed into, if you have any, will feed into the work of this working group on the retirement of CCTLDs. So that ends my overview. So handing back, Marika.
Thanks, Bart. Hi, all. It's me again now to speak to you about the plans of the generic name supporting organization, or GNSO, at ICANN 59. So in addition to leading and participating in the cross-community discussions that have been mentioned earlier in this presentation, the GNSO has carved out substantial time on its agenda for the different policy development process working groups to be able to meet face-to-face and progress in their deliberations. This includes the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group, the next generation registration directory services to replace WHOIS PDP working group, the review of all rights protection mechanisms PDP working group, and the IGO-INGO curative rights PDP working group. In addition, the GNSO has also scheduled bilateral meetings with the CCNSO and the Governmental Advisory Committee to discuss topics of common interest. Some of the topics that it expects to discuss and or receive updates on during the GNSO Monday sessions are updates on the status of work for the different PDPs, a briefing by the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team, an update on the KSK rollover, discussion on the planning and preparations for the PTI FY19 budget, and a joint meeting with the Board Working Group on Internet Governance. Each morning from 8 o'clock to 8:30, the GNSO policy team will be providing briefings to prepare attendees for the day ahead. These are expected to be interactive sessions, and so please come along with any questions or comments you may have. A number of GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies are also planning their respective outreach sessions during the morning and throughout the week. On Wednesday, the GNSO Council public meeting will take place, which is expected to cover topics such as consideration of the revised charter for the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance, the proposed process and criteria for the selection of the GNSO representative to the Empowered Community Administration, a discussion on the proposed fundamental bylaw changes and the community forum, which Mary has explained to you earlier in this presentation, as well as an update on the recently reconvened Red Cross PDP working group. On Thursday, the GNSO Council will meet for a wrap-up session, which will allow for a review of the activities that have taken place during the week and to start its planning for the projects and activities between now and the next ICANN meeting. And with that, I'll hand it over to Heidi.
Thank you very much, Marika. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations, and I am speaking to you from Los Angeles today. I'm delighted to give you a preview of the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community that they are planning at the Policy Forum at ICANN 59. First, we have the ALAC and At-Large activities during ICANN 59. The ALAC and RALO leaders, the regional at-large organization leaders, will be focusing on several policy topics, one main process-related item, and the AFRALO General Assembly activities. Related to policy, the at-large leaders will be discussing the following topics. The first is new GTLDs, then the registry directory services, use of country codes, new GTLD consumer safeguards, and DNS abuse and consumer safeguards. As part of their discussions, they have invited speakers from the community and from staff to present updates on these policies as well as discuss areas of interest with at-large. These in-depth discussions will ensure at-large is prepared for the afternoon cross-community policy sessions. The process-related issue will focus on the ongoing at-large review. In May 2017, ITEMS, the Independent Examiner, published its final report on the at-large review. This triggered the next phase of the review process, which has at-large focusing on developing the feasibility assessment and implementation plan of each of the recommendations. This analysis will be submitted to the ICANN Board Organizational Effectiveness Committee prior to the Board's consideration of ITEMS recommendation. During ICANN 59, at-large will be holding a dedicated working session to discuss the method to carry out this analysis. The ALAC and RALO statements in response to the draft final report laid much other groundwork for this document. And finally, the AFRALO General Assembly. They'll be holding a number of activities due to their General Assembly. This includes a series of interactive capacity development sessions on policy issues, an outreach event with university students from Johannesburg, outreach activities at an AFRALO booth, an AFRALO showcase, and AFRALO General Assembly plenary. And now just a little bit more detail about these sessions. First, the ALAC. The ALAC and at-large leadership team will be holding 9.5 hours of face-to-face meeting time, as well as sessions with several AC and SO groups. At-large sessions include discussions focused on the cross-community session scheduled for the afternoon. They'll be meeting with the some of the groups they'll be meeting with include the Constituency Stakeholder Group, the GAC, and the ESSAC. And discussions with spokespeople for the CCT RT review team, consumer safeguards, and domain name abuse will be highlights of their policy discussions. And finally, there will be an initial discussion on the third at-large summit, which is scheduled to take place at ICANN 64 in March 2019. In working groups, there'll be several working groups holding sessions to advance their work. And these are the Capacity Building Working Group, the Working Group on Public Interest, the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement, and the Technology Task Force. And some more details on the AFRALO General Assembly. There will be approximately 50 AFRALO at-large structure representatives engaging in a number of activities. There will be an outreach event with almost 60 students from the University of Johannesburg Information Hub on Monday. The General Assembly, taking place on Wednesday, will see the signing of an MOU between AFRALO and AFRINIC. The capacity development sessions will be focusing on policy development process, on security trends impacting registrants and end users, on the empowered community, and the next generation registration directory services. And those are taking place each day of the policy forum. The AFRALO showcase will feature speeches by senior staff and board members, a uniquely South African dance troupe, and light refreshments. And this is taking place on Wednesday evening. Please do come to that. And then the General Assembly plenary is the primary meeting of AFRALO in which they will discuss issues of key importance. And this will be held in two parts on Wednesday. And this concludes the ALAC and at-large update. And I would now like to hand the floor over to my colleague Olaf Nordling and his team, who will provide an update on the activities of the GAC. Olaf?
Thank you so much, Heidi. And welcome to the Brussels office, everybody, where I'm based, and a few words that you've looked forward to all the time to hear a little more about the Governmental Advisory Committee, also abbreviated GAC. Can go to the next slide, please. So, the GAC has currently 172 government members. The most recent addition was St. Kitts and Nevis. And 36 intergovernmental organizations as observers. So it's quite a crowd. And the GAC has also a very full agenda for ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. Just some highlights on that. The Johannesburg meeting will be the starting point for the nominations for the upcoming GAC leadership elections to be concluded by ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. And, well, Mary and Bart have mentioned the empowered community, and the GAC as well need to make its adaptation to the new bylaws and also to consider how to act as a decision participant in various circumstances. There will be updates on the Cross-Community Working Group for Accountability, Workstream 2. It's alive and kicking. And the GAC is very interested in much of those activities and involved as well. And likewise, the GAC will prepare its input or discuss its input and participation in the ongoing GNSO PDPs that Marika has told you all about. And last but not least in this context, I mean, there are still a few hanging curveballs from the new GTLD round. And regarding second level domains featuring country names and two character codes, this will be an ongoing discussion for quite some time. For certain GAC members, it is of quite some importance. And there is a dialogue with ICANN organization on this. On both of these topics. And I want to highlight the now well-established tradition that all GAC sessions will be open, contrary to the situations a few years ago when most of them were closed. With that, I'll transfer over across the Atlantic to Julia Chatvoulin in Pittsburgh. Take it away, Julia.
Thank you, Olaf. Hello, everyone. So among the GAC working groups that will be meeting at ICANN 59, the Human Rights and International Law Working Group will discuss the possible next steps and outcomes of the cross-community working group on human rights subgroup consultation on the framework of interpretation, as well as the work that has been conducted since ICANN 58. The GAC Underserved Regions Working Group will discuss the work progress as well made since ICANN 58 and how to increase participation of working group members in GNSOPDPs and cross-community working groups. Additionally, the working group will continue working on its FAQ document on delegation and redelegation of CCTLPs. The work on this document started after ICANN 58 with the help of the CCNSO and the PTI, and the intent is to help GAC members who are experiencing issues with this matter. Prior to ICANN 59, the Underserved Regions and Public Safety Working Groups will host the second ICANN Capacity Development Workshop for African GAC members, law enforcement, and consumer protection agencies. The agenda, session details, and remote participation information can be found on the link I will be posting in the chat pod. The GAC will be participating in cross-community discussions, and particularly in the session on who sets ICANN's priorities, which has a direct link to the cross-community session the GAC chaired in Helsinki on workload and management. And with this, I will hand it over to my colleague, Fadia.
Thank you, Julia. Hello, everyone. In Johannesburg, there will be particular attention of the GAC in two other policy areas, public safety and geographic names. You may know that the GAC has a dedicated working group in each of these areas. The Public Safety Working Group, for its part, will continue assessing the effectiveness of previous GAC advice related to abuse mitigation, including following progress on new initiatives such as the domain abuse reporting tool that is being developed by the ICANN organization. The PSBG will also contribute the expertise of its members in RDS and bring both law enforcement and data protection perspective in various settings during the ICANN 59 Policy Forum, and that includes the cross-community session on GDPR that was discussed earlier, the new, the next generation RDS PDP working group, and the RDS review team, which will also start its work at ICANN 59. Regarding geographic names, the working group has been considering the outcomes of the April webinar and will bring its proposals and perspective in the cross-community sessions that are planned in Johannesburg. This completes the update on GAC activities, and I'm now turning it over to Carlos.
Thank you very much, Fabian. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes again from the Washington, D.C. office with a quick update from the Root Server System Advisory Committee. As you know, the Root Server System Advisory Committee, or RSAC, is responsible for advising the ICANN community and board on matters relating to the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the authoritative root server system. The RSEC consists of representatives from the root server operators and liaisons from the partner organizations involved in the management of the root zone. There's also an RSEC caucus with DNS experts, 86 DNS experts right now, who actively participate in work parties. Currently, there are three documents in progress in the RSEC. A workshop report summarizing the discussions at the most recent RSEC workshop held in early May, as well as a statement on DNS root server accountability and an advice document on entries in DNS root sources. Shortly after Copenhagen, the RSEC published RSEC 026, the RSEC lexicon, which aims to increase the understanding of technical terms used commonly when discussing the root server system. This is a great resource for non-technical audiences, especially the ICANN community, and will inform a lot of the work that's taking place within the RSAC and across the ICANN community with regard to root server system evolution. Looking ahead at Johannesburg, there are 9 working sessions for the RSAC. Of course, they'll be focusing on their work on root service evolution. They'll also be discussing how to engage the caucus some more and focusing on the RSAC review, which will be launching later this year. They'll also have their usual joint session with the Office of the CTO to discuss areas for potential collaboration. For more information, of course, you can always refer to the RSAC webpage, and all of the publications are listed there as well. And you're able to sort them by publication type and date as well. So with that, we go to my colleague Julie Headland for an update on the SAC.
Thank you very much, Carlos, and welcome everyone. This is Julie Headland joining from the ICANN Washington, D.C. office to speak to you briefly on the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, the SAC. The SAC has been busy since ICANN 58. It has published several documents, as you can see here. There's been a comment on the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 Draft Framework of Interpretation for Human Rights, an advisory on the use of emoji and domain names, a response to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group Community Comment 2, and comments on the draft recommendations of the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 on SO and AC accountability. And then in process, we have an advisory regarding the Centralized Zone Data Service, CZDS, and Registry Operator Monthly Activity Reports. You should see that out in the next few days. Looking ahead to ICANN 59, the SAC will be holding its usual DNSSEC workshop. This event will be on Monday, the 26th of June, from 0900 to 1200 local time. This is a workshop that will look into issues relating to the deployment of DNSSEC, which is continuing to move forward. And DNSSEC is the DNS Security Extensions. This is the public presentation and discussion with those who are actively engaged in the deployment of DNSSEC. Why is this important? Registries, registrars, ISPs, and others who plan to deploy DNSSEC services will benefit from the presentation and discussion of the deployment experience at this event. It really is an opportunity for those who are deploying DNSSEC or thinking of deploying DNSSEC to get together to exchange views and experiences. And who should attend? Anyone with an interest in the deployment of DNSSEC, particularly registry, registrar, and ISP representatives with technical, operational, and strategic planning roles. And I'll just note that the workshop program is arranged in the levels of difficulty, so you're welcome to attend the sessions that are more aimed at beginners if you wish. There's some information for intermediates and also some for technical experts, so we have something for everyone. And here you can find, with these links, more information on the SAC, the main web page, and the list of publications, which you can also view by category related to the charter, as well as outcomes. And now I would like to turn things back to the question-answer session. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Hello, everyone. This is Ozan Şahin speaking. I'm a community engagement coordinator in the policy development support team of ICANN, working out of Istanbul office. We will now continue with question and answer session. And as you might have noted on the screen, Adobe Connect room microphones have now been enabled. In order to activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. And I would like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. During your registration period for this webinar, we have received some questions through the registration form. As you think about questions to ask Pulse Development Support Team now and activate your microphones, I would like to go through some of the questions we have received so far, as well as their short answers on the slide. In the meantime, please feel free to either raise your hand or type your question or comment in the chat box. Since questions already received through registration form and their answers are already on the slide deck, which will be posted after the webinar session, I will give priority to in-room Adobe Connect questions and try to make best use of our limited time. So now I'm moving on to the first question we have received through the registration form. Being no hands in the Adobe Connect room or comments or questions in the chat box, which is any number of words limits to comments on PDP reports. And the policy team's response to that is there is no limit to the length of a comment that can be submitted in response to a PDP report. But ideally, comments are focused and to the point to facilitate review by the PDP working group. I'm quickly checking now to see if there are any hands. Wait for questions, comments in the chat box. No. So moving on to the second question we have received, which was, how can I, as an ALS, be involved in and be useful in ICANN's policy and to make the members of my organization and others aware of the role that ICANN plays in enabling people to connect to the internet and exchange information and data? As an at-large structure, which is our response, you have many resources available to assist you with explaining ICANN policy issues to your members. At-large has a series of capacity development webinars that explain a number of ICANN policies and the role of at-large and ICANN. The 2017 series is available at the following link. And let me copy the link in the chat box for your convenience quickly. And also, AFRILA is holding a number of activities during ICANN 59 for the General Assembly. This includes four active capacity development sessions, a plenary General Assembly, an outreach and engagement session with students from the University of Johannesburg, and a showcase. As an at-large structure, one member of your organization was invited to participate. However, most of the meetings will have remote participation. Details on AFRILA activities at ICANN 59 are available at the following link, and let me copy that as well in the chat box. So we still do not have in-room questions at the moment. I will go through the questions we have so far. The question was objectives and participation for policy forum sessions on GDPR, RDS, and geographic names. The response for that question is, all of the cross-committee sessions mentioned are open to the community and participation is encouraged. The slides and presentations discuss the objectives, but in brief, GDPR, the objective is to explore the impact of the European Data Protection Regulation on the domain name industry and its users, including registrants and other stakeholders. RDS, the objective of this session is to promote an interactive dialogue between the working group members and the broader community on the working group's initial key concepts, specifically on minimum public data set, formerly referred to as SIN data. And geonames, the ambitious objective is to reach a consensus-based solution to handle geographic names at the top level. If that proves unachievable, the objective is then to reach agreement on the approach and path forward to develop a consensus-based solution. The fourth question we received was where to find the policies for review. And we have two links in response to that question. Let me copy them over to the chat box and so that you can reach them. So to review the NSO policies under development or review, please see the link that I just pasted in the chat box. And for GNSO policy recommendations in implementation, please see this link that I just copied, that I just pasted. I'm again checking to see if there are in-room questions, raised hands, or comments in the chat box. No. So the fifth question we received was, what is the history of the debate concerning geographic names at the top level? What is the current status of this issue pertaining to subsequent procedures? The policy team response to that question is, a link to a background paper is available through the link in the slide. And let me bring that back. Link and paste it in the chat so you can click on it. But briefly, the GNSO's policy recommendations did not envision reserving geographic names at the top level and proposed that conflicts would be handled via objections. Concerns from certain communities led to country and territory names being excluded from delegation, while other geographic names, as defined in the applicant guidebook, required support or non-objection from the relevant government or public authority. The implementation in the applicant guidebook is therefore inconsistent with GNSO policy recommendations. Currently, there are multiple efforts within the community working on the topic of geographic names, all with a different focus and scope of work. The PDP working group is therefore seeking to consolidate its efforts to ensure a coordinated, consensus-based output is reached. Since we have no questions or comments in the other Connect room, I will move on to the sixth question we received through the RSVP form, which is, where would you consider an urgent policy area and where can fellows fit in possible? Olaf from policy team provided a short response for that, but would you like to comment more on this, more on your response?
Thank you, Ozan. So I really leave you from using up all of your words for a little bit while we're waiting for any additional comments. Now, the only thing you can say about this that is urgent policy area, of course, that's all in the eye of the beholder. And you could also give it a little bit of a philosophical edge if you like. I mean, that for matters that different people perceive as of equal importance, well, the most urgency from an idealist point of view would be those where you have the strongest disagreement and where you have the views are the furthest apart. And the pragmatist, on the other hand, would rather look for see an urgent need to address something that is possible to solve, where this can be reached through either through voting with voting thresholds or consensus or whatever mechanisms there are available. So just to elaborate a little on this, that it can be perceived from very many different perspectives. And you can take, for example, one issue that was mentioned today by Marika on WHOIS and subsequently on RDS. Well, you can certainly perceive that as something where there are very, very strong divergent views. But of course, there are optimists that are viewing it as, well, it has to be possible to solve. So taking a pragmatic approach and launching a PDP. So there you are. And just to conclude that for the fellows, of course, I mean, before they found themselves a proper home within the SOs or ACs, they can always contribute through public comment periods and in open community fora whenever they happen. So there are opportunities for the fellows. And I know from experience that they're never shy or bashful from speaking up in front of large audiences. So thank you. Over back to you, Ozan.
Thank you, Olaf. Let's then move on to the seventh question we received. I know Bart has already touched upon the seventh question, which is why EU GDPR is one of the topics for discussion during his presentation. But Bart, would you like to comment about this question again, or shall I move to the eighth question we have?
Ozan, this is Bart. Just move on. Unless the person who raised the question is on the call and wants an additional clarification.
I see. That's a good suggestion. Thank you. So, I think this person is not in the room, so I'm moving on to the eighth question that we received. And this is how we can face the challenge of possible internet fragmentation. May I propose a working group for take this topic and project it in the time? And Olaf provided a short answer for that question again. So let me remind you that all these questions and answers will be available on our slide deck after the webinar session. And I will now move to how to stay updated part of our presentation. So you may reach policy development support team at policy-staff@ican.org, as noted on the current slide. And below that, various Twitter accounts are listed with which you can stay updated. I would also like to encourage you to download ICANN 59 mobile application in order to enhance your meeting experience. So before I move on, Mary, would you like to comment on Empowered Communities, Timelines and Actions? We still have a few minutes before we conclude.
Sure. Thanks, Ozan. And hello, everybody. It's Mary Wong again. And seeing as we had a couple of minutes, I asked if I could expand a little more on some of the concerns that have been raised, including by Bart when he talked about the CCNSO. And as he noted, there are timelines in the ICANN bylaws for various actions in the exercise of powers by the empowered community. We are in Johannesburg going to be talking at the community forum about an approval action. But as you may have noted, Bart mentioned that there are other actions such as a rejection action, one of which may be coming up very, very shortly for the community, and that is in relation to the ICANN budget. So to the extent that will be helpful, ICANN staff is preparing a set of graphics, one for each power, that will show each step that's required in the process for exercising that power, as well as the timelines, say, for sending a notice, for holding a forum, or for making a decision. It does seem that there's a couple of communities that are a little concerned about whether their respective internal procedures might need to be updated or whether or not they can even meet some of these bylaws timelines in the first place. So hopefully that information will be helpful. And of course, if any of your community groups would like an overview of the powers and the timelines, please do reach out to us. We'd be very happy to come in either through a webinar or on one of your calls to walk you through that in an effort to be helpful. Thanks very much, Ozan. That's it from me.
Thanks, Mary. And lastly, please make sure to visit the link on the current slide for pre-ICANN 59 policy report, which will include what to expect at ICANN 59, background information, and session details. And also look for the post-ICANN 59 policy report with results and recap of the meeting in early July. With that, I will turn it over to David Oliver. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I thank everyone on this call for their time and attention. We hope we have provided you with a substantive and good preview of the actions and activities expected at ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. It will indeed be a meeting as a policy forum, dense with discussions and interactions from the community on these important areas of policy and advice development. And with that, we wish you a safe travel if you're going to be there in person, or we look forward to welcoming you remotely online, for it's important to have your active participation at the ICANN meeting as we move forward for this policy forum session. With that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be, and thank you for your time and attention to these important topics. Goodbye.
Thank you for taking part in the PICAN 59 policy update webinar. This call is now over. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you ever so much.